4-9 of 5.
4-9 of 5.
There is a river we must pass over when life comes goes to sleep in the west. There be a light for me at the crossing, guiding me to
what a day
who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. I sat by my Savior and looked on his face, was full of his glory and shining with grace. His smile was endearing, his touch so
of my love, Lord,
that the cup is gentle, man.
One touch of his gentle hand
means more than the world to me.
One touch of his gentle hand will make every shadow flee.
I'll not be afraid to go
and bravely take my stand
with courage and zeal as long as I feel the touch of his gentle hand. A touch of his gentle hand can strengthen the faintest heart.
A touch of his tender hand,
his name I'll go,
and whether on sea or land,
I never shall fail if I can feel the touch of his gentle hand.
One touch of his gentle hand
means more than the world to me.
One touch of his gentle hand
will make every shadow flee. I'll not be afraid to go
and bravely take my stand
with courage and zeal as long as I feel the touch of his gentle hand.
Wherever my feet may roam,
I'll trust in the Lord's unchanging hand to lead me all the way home. And ever my prayer shall be
to save me at home, my friend,
and I can just feel this does so real, the touch of his gentle hand.
One touch of his gentle hand
means more than the world to me.
One touch of his gentle hand
will make every shadow flee. I'll not be afraid to go
and pray they take my stand.
Glad to be here this morning. Julian Hill, been looking forward to coming, to be back here. It seemed like it's been such a long time since we've been back. Here we're glad to see each and every one of you this morning. We trust that you come with a prayer upon your lips that God would visit his abode and might take up for a little while here to enjoy his sweet fellowship. And we might look to him. All of our needs, trials, and the temptations of life we go through, and we need to call upon him because he said he'd always be there for us. This is the place where you call upon him in his house, his kingdom, because there is where God dwells. We want to remember our sick and afflicted this morning, and rather than y'all make mention of any that's sick and needs to be said so in the church this morning, we might offer prayer for them. Many that are sick and affected. Whether we make mention of them or not, the Lord knows what to stand in need of. This is to know what we need. We want to have a hymn number 45 as a way of noting him on everyone to stand up to it. And afterwards we'll call another back if you will believe us in prayer. Number 45. Lord, in thy presence, here with me, may we in thee be found. Oh, make the place divinely sweet, and let thy grace abound. With harmony thy servants bless,
presence, he will be against you. We hope, dear Lord, that you are feeling this day. the Lord, that thou hast done away with the bondage and the laws of the past. We thank you, dear Lord, for those who hear this new testament, who come before thee in marvelous dispensation of grace. Dear Lord, we are thankful for all the blessings that thou hast bestowed upon us. And we hope, dear Lord, that if we walk with the press to the mark of the high calling, the marvelous mark of thou hast placed within our forehead, we hope, dear Lord, that we have been able to graze in the marvelous green pastures and that we dwell there. And we hope, dear Lord, that we go in and out. We hope, dear Lord, when we are not present here with one another, that we always put thee before us. We walk following thee, that it is a marvelous reward to live in a marvelous kingdom. That we receive the marvelous righteousness which comes from on high through the marvelous faith. And that faith is alive and well, dear Lord, here. And we know that when thou dost return, that thou will redeem those that belong to thee. We thank you, dear Lord, that we realize and know that we've never been lost. Yet the middle wall of petition has been broken down by thee, and that thou art our holy redeemer. We thank you, dear Lord, that thou did come, and that thou was a servant, serving unto us, but most of all, a servant unto the Most High, gracious Father, who dwells in heaven. And dear Lord, we do participate here in this marvelous world. We realize, dear Lord, that the government throughout this world, that wicked power within them, dear Lord, we hope that you will always bless this government in which we have here in this marvelous country, that we'll never deal with the wicked types that so surround so many in the world. We're thankful, dear Lord, that we have a country in which we can come and worship thee openly, and that we have not to hide. Dear Lord, be with us now, throughout the service and forevermore. It is in thy holy name that we can pray. Amen.
Being judged of God's people from time to time, and without the Spirit of the Lord, we're nothing. I've wondered many times as I've come before God's people that what if the Lord didn't bless me with the gospel? What would I do? Thank the Lord I haven't been that road yet. Each time that I've come before God's people, the Lord has so graciously blessed me. And I see that the hand of the Lord must be in everything that we do. When man starts putting his hands to things, most of the time it comes to naught. Most of the time the workings of our hands might give us pleasure, might give us some glory along the way, but it'll eventually come to nothing. And so it has been since the beginning of time that when man has put his hand to it, that it hasn't been to the glory of God. Go back to Cain and Abel. We see that Cain offered the sacrifice of his hand, and God wasn't pleased. Things haven't changed. It's still the same today. When we try to glory with our hands and what we do and all, it doesn't give praise and honor and glory to God. It takes away from us. We're built up in such a way that we think that we're something, that we glory in ourselves. Thought that's been resting upon my mind this week or the last few days is I've been doing some work in the western part of the county and cleaning off for a new sanctuary, a new church.
talking to a brother there that goes to that church. And when he was talking about tearing down the old sanctuary and building a new one, I thought about this. He was calling it my church, our church. And I thought that just didn't sound right to me for some reason. We know that man can build a building. We know that he can erect a building and men built this building. But I thought, how do you occupy a man-built building? You occupy it with men and women. But then I read this, and it's really come to my mind and really stuck hard to it. David wrote in the 127th Psalm, beginning with the first verse, he said, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." This came to my mind as I was talking to that brethren. That brethren meant well. A lot of God's people that are in the world today means well. They believe that what they're doing is right. They believe what they're doing is upstanding. They believe that it's to the glory of God. This dear brethren, I knew that he meant well, that he was willing to work for the Lord, but yet he made some remarks that I just couldn't go along with. But sometimes it's better to just sit and be quiet than to cause argument and strife and envy among God's people. The scripture that came to my mind, "Cast not your pearls before swine." Though this brethren, I believe, was to be a child of God, but yet he took the word of God and trampled it under his feet. And they were going about, as Paul says, establishing their own righteousness and not have submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That is the key word, submit. It's not something that we can't do, but it's something that we can do if we're willing. If we're willing to lay down the pride and the knowledge of men and look to the Lord and be given knowledge of Him, that we might understand His Word. It's our nature as a human being to want to take pride in ourselves. We want to glory in ourselves. We want to think of ourselves as something. So it is with men today. They build these fine, great, big sanctuaries. And they do it for their glory and for their honor. But the Lord said, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain. Well, you know, laboring in vain doesn't really get you anywhere. And I know that perhaps y'all have done the same thing that I've done in times past. I have labored with doing something that turned out to be nothing. I wasted my time many a time doing things that, as old saying goes, wasn't worth a hill of beans. I still do things that doesn't profit me in that sense. But I'll tell you, when you labor in the true kingdom, when you labor in God's commandments, when you serve Him as being the Most High, you serve Him as being your King and your Lord, then your labors are not in vain. 1 Corinthians 5:15-58 tells us that. That for our works of righteousness, that our labors are not in vain. But it's a vain thing to build a house and call it the house of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord not be there. Oh, there are men that build sanctuaries and great big cathedrals and stained glasses and all kinds of woodwork and idols that's all in these buildings. And all of the things, and they gather in great enormous amounts of people.
and they have a spirit there. They are jumping and a shouting and a carrying on, and they'll think they're really praising the Lord. But it's all in vain. If the Spirit of the Lord is not there, there is not liberty nor peace. If the Spirit of the Lord is not there, there is not a comforting to the soul. And many a time, and I want to reflect back on some things that I've known for many years and heard about many years and talked to a lot of people about. And I've talked to and seen it on television and heard many so-called ministers talking to congregations and telling them that today choose ye whom you shall serve. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve Satan? Are you going to die and go to heaven today, or are you going to die and go to hell? Well, brother, I want to tell you, that is nothing but a scare tactic. And that's what a lot of these big organizations, these big so-called churches are doing today to God's people. They're scaring them, saying if you don't accept the Lord today, that you're going to die and go to hell. Brother, now, what kind of life are you living? When each day that you wake up and you think that you've not done a good enough of works, or you're not living right, or you're not doing that would please God, and not doing that that would cause you to go to heaven, what kind of life was that? Is that a life of peace and joy, or is that a life of torment, a life of hell? You know, David said that he made his bed in hell. Brother, I want to tell you, I've seen people that made their bed in hell here on earth when they're trying to live good enough, trying to do good enough to be able to go to heaven. But brother, I want to tell you this much. Not all of the works that we can do. Now, there's not a work nor a law that would give eternal life. But I want to tell you, eternal life comes by grace. And that grace is a gift of God. And brother, no make no difference how many big buildings you build, how many people you draw in, how many that you have in a congregation on Sunday morning. I'll tell you, it doesn't make any difference if you let a lot of people to the Lord. As some would say, this brother and I talked to, and it's been resting upon my mind. And he said he kept a little book, and he writ down the names of everyone that he led to the Lord. In other words, everyone that he saved, and him men, and not even a call minister. And I believe, child of God, that you can lead some to Christ, but not in the way of eternal salvation. The Bible tells me that if you stop and correct a brother in error and lead him back to the path of righteousness, I tell you, brother, you did a multitude of sins. But I want to tell you, this brother, he said he kept a book of all the names, all the ones that he led to Christ. And brother, I'll tell you, I didn't want to bust his bubble, but I want to tell you one thing. He didn't have nothing to do with leading them to God. It's by God's drawing spirit and then by his power of the Almighty. Well, that's what brings children of God to home to the Christ. I tell you, brother, it's by his effectual calling and his drawing of the Spirit. It's not by some man's preaching or some man's doing or some by building. But I'll tell you, he said, there saith the Lord, build a house, they labor in vain. And brother, I want to tell you, they bring in numbers. That's what the world's looking at today. The more numbers we can get, the more money we can get in the church. But I want to tell you, brethren, we might add to the church a lot of numbers and a lot of people. But I'll tell you, if the Lord's not in it, it's in vain. And I'll tell you, child of God, if they accept the Lord, keep the city, the watchman awake and put in vain. Brethren, I want to tell you, if the Lord didn't look after his church, we have no hope of ourselves looking after it. We can't keep it. We can't feed it. We can't nourish it. It's up to the Lord to keep this house. How many times we go back in the Old Testament, we find the cities where the Lord looked after and kept in fire, and he set watchmen on the walls, and brother, they didn't awake in vain. They kept an open eye under to keep the things that wasn't good for the church or for the city out of the city. At that time, and brother, I'll tell you, if the Lord's there, not there in that building, if the Lord's not in the church, and I'll tell you, the watchmen will wake. And man, watch out, because what are they watching for? Because it's already there. Satan's already in the church. If the Lord ain't there, but I'll tell you, my friends, when the Lord's in the church, and I'm talking about not just a building here in this life, the church that I'm talking about is in the heart. And brother, I'll tell you, it don't matter how small a building or how many gather here, the Bible says we're two or three are gathered in my name, but they're not in my name.